Please take your Bibles and please turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read the same passage again as we read last week. Mark chapter 4 at the first verse. And it's on page 971. Page 971. And just a couple of questions as we would look at this passage together. There are four different types of soil here. What's happening in each of these kinds of soil? And really the most important question is, which kind of soil are you today? So Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. This is God's word. And again Jesus began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. May God bless to us this reading, and also the preaching of his own perfect and powerful word. Please take your Bibles and please turn with me again to Mark chapter 4. Page 971. Pocahontas is not one of my favourite Disney films. It has some lovely scenes of nature, showing what America may have looked like before the settlers arrived. But it also has the main character talking to her grandmother's spirit in a tree. And we know that such things aren't right. However, there's one line from the first song that Pocahontas sings that I want to concentrate on for a minute. It says, she sings, "What I love about rivers is you can't step into the same river twice. The water's always changing, always flowing." Now, Pocahontas didn't make that up. It was a Greek thinker around before Jesus lived on earth who did. He said, "You can't step into the same river twice." And that's true. Because the water that you stepped into the first time has now flowed downstream. And you're stepping into different water now. What's true about rivers is also true of church services. You can't come to the same church service twice. And maybe you think it's just the same thing that's said week after week. We are looking at the same passage today as we looked at last week. But I hope that we'll see different things here today. What's more, we're not the same people that we were last week. Either we're closer to God today, or we're further away from God. Either God's seed, God's word, the Bible, is working in our lives, or it's not. And this is what Jesus means when he talks about the four different types of soil. There are four different types of hearer. And that's what we'll call today's sermon. Four different types of hearer. When Jesus first speaks this parable, there are four different types of hearer in front of him in the crowd. And today in this room, there may well be the same four different types of hearer. Which one are you today? How is God's word changing your life? Let's look at these things together. But first, a quick recap to see what you remember from last week. This story about the sower is Jesus' first what? Parable. That's right. Jesus' first parable. And what is a parable? Do you remember the little rhyme? Excellent, Eileen. Excellent. Simple, yes, not the best poet in the world. Simple story at first view, but looked at again, it includes me and you. That's right. It's a simple story about things that we understand, but there's a depth to it that brings us in, that sucks us into the story. That's right. Jesus doesn't tell the story to make things easier for the people who hear. He tells the story to divide his hearers into those who think he's just a storyteller and those who know that he's their king. So we looked at the story and we looked at the sower. Who is the sower? Jesus, that's right. Jesus is the sower. He came to earth to sow the most important message of all, to change our lives. To tell us that his father is the owner of the whole field, if you want to put it that way. But sin has come into the world. Satan has tried to take over the field. However, Jesus has come to defeat sin, to win his people back. And that's the message that we can be sowing into the lives of others. Once our own sin has been forgiven. So there was the story and the sower and the seed. What's the seed? What is the sower sowing? The word, the Bible, the gospel message, the most important book in the world, the book that can change your life from being a rebel against God to being a servant of Jesus. The book that we need to know better. The message that Jesus came to give his life for. So the four soils are four different kinds of people who hear this message. The first soil is the one along the pathway. Let me just show you these things so that you can remember them a wee bit better. The one along the pathway where the word does no damage. Or, to put it a different way, the word does no good. The seed isn't actually growing there. And you can see just where the birds have landed, where the sower has just walked. And because he has walked on it, the soil is hard. Many other people have walked along that same path, and the seed just bounces off the path, and the birds quickly make a meal of it. Now, the sower hasn't made a mistake by throwing some seed on the path. The path may later be ploughed up. And it also shows us that God is generous. He wants everybody to hear. I'm sure that in nearly every home in this city, there's a copy of God's Word, the Bible. The seed has been sown. But in many of those homes, people's hearts are hard, just like the pathway, and they spend very little time reading God's Word, listening to God. If they go to church at all, they spend time doing other things. Look at how Jesus describes this kind of hearer in verse 15. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Do you see who Jesus says the birds are? Who are the birds? Satan. Would it surprise you to know that Satan comes to these services often? It's a kind of a scary thing to think of, but it's true. You see, we're all born on Satan's side, and Satan wants it to stay that way. He doesn't want us joining Jesus' side. So he's going to try and stop that. He'll even come to a service like this and put all kinds of ideas in your head. Through this passage, God is telling you to listen to Jesus. But Satan is telling you not to. You can't believe that kind of stuff, he says to us. Following Jesus is just too hard. You can't keep it up. You can think about it another day. You don't want Jesus to spoil your happiness. You see, Satan knows that God's word can do damage, that God's word can do good. Whenever Jesus quoted God's word to Satan in the wilderness, it was like a slap in his face. So Satan wants to pluck that good word out of you. He wants you to go on in your sin. He wants you to go with him to hell. Will you be that foolish? Now, you may be a very smart person. You may be very good with your hands. You may have lots of skills and abilities. But when it comes to the gospel, to the good news about Jesus, really you haven't a clue. If someone asked you to explain why Jesus came, why he had to die, you would be lost. You may have heard it 10 times, you may have heard it 100 times, but like the seed on the wayside, it hasn't gone in. It hasn't really touched you. It's like water off a duck's back. It doesn't actually wet the duck. And such people can be very discouraging hearers. I have to say, as a congregation, you do listen to God's word very well. But there is a glazed look that can come over your face. And that tells me that while your body is still here, your mind is far away. Your heart is hard against God's message. And with each service, with each time you resist what God is saying, it's getting a little harder. Well, let me try for a minute even to talk to you, to get through to you. Now, I can't do it, but God can do it. Let me break the message down as simply as I can. You are a sinner by birth and by nature. You can't remove even one of your sins yourself. Jesus came to forgive, to rescue sinners. He died in the place of sinners. So you must turn from your sins and trust yourself to Jesus. Surely that's not hard to understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It's easy enough for a child to grasp. It's not about doing your best. It's not about not doing anybody any harm. It's about trusting in Jesus as your Savior and as your King. But you know, even true disciples can be prey to Satan's work. Have you ever felt numbness creep over you as you picked up your Bible? When you could read a newspaper or watch a TV program without a moment's tiredness? That's Satan trying to snatch away God's word. The Bible will do you lasting good, but it takes hard, determined work. You've got to put your mind into gear to hear what God is saying to you through his word. And don't let Satan use you to steal God's word from other people. Be aware of those that God has been speaking to. Don't erase the truth from their hearts. So those in whom God's word does no damage, indeed no good. We find the second kind of hearer in verses 5 and 6. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. These are the ones in whom the word finds no depth. The word finds no depth. And this picture is how I always imagined it was. A whole lot of big stones lying on the surface so that the seed can't actually find anywhere to go among the stones. But that's not what Jesus means. What he does mean is more like that. Now, it's not exactly like that. If you see there, there is some rock and there's soil on the top of the rock. What Jesus actually means is the rock is right underneath the ground, but it's only a few inches, a few centimeters underneath, so there's only a very thin layer of soil. And what happens is this. During the summertime, the sun has been heating up the rock underneath. And then as the year goes on, about November time, about December time, the rock releases that heat. So the soil above it is warmed by the heat underneath. And then any seed falling into the soil with the rain coming down and the warmth, the seed will sprout up quickly. And it will produce shoots that seem strong and green and fresh. But whenever the summer begins to come, whenever the sun begins to burn brightly, the little seeds are trying to dig down, to have deep roots, so they can get moisture from the soil. But because the rock is there, they can't get through the rock, so that they've got no roots. So when the sun begins to shine, they've got no water coming up from below, and they just wither, and they just die. The word finds no depth. Jesus is speaking here about people who are only impressed by God's word for a time. Look at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And notice those words in verse 16. They receive it. They receive the word with gladness. Gladness, joy, is a very popular word on the church scene today. Our services are meant to be joyful. We are meant to be joyful, happy people. One visitor commented after one of our services that there wasn't enough singing and dancing. There seems to be little room in the church today for sorrow, for shame, for repentance. In many places, there's little to search people's hearts, little to humble them, little to break them down. According to some, it's an easy thing to become a believer in Jesus. If sin is mentioned at all, it's an easy thing to shake off. But this is shallow. This is only skin deep. In the hearts of people like this, there's a hard layer of rock that hasn't been broken down by the word. These people resist the word of God, which, like those healthy roots, would dig down deep into their lives, would give them a source of food from below when the rain stops from above. Now, do you notice the particular trouble for this kind of hearer? With the first group, the trouble came from Satan. With this group, the trouble comes from the world. Jesus talks about tribulation or persecution arising from the world around, from people around who aren't so keen on the message of Jesus, who might put pressure on you to give it all up. We saw back in chapter 3 that Jesus' own family were wanting him to stop. When God calls you, that may create division in your family. And you may be tempted to turn back if other family members aren't joining you. Or if friends at work or friends at school give you a hard time. It's very easy for them to make fun of your faith. But what do they have that's any better? Joy in the Christian life isn't forbidden. Don't think that for a moment. Many of the Psalms are full of joy, call us to praise God. But joy without sorrow for sin, without grief at the gulf between us and a holy God, or without the pain that we feel because we have hurt a loving God, such joy without those things is not going to last. Your heart must be with God, not just your head. Some time ago I was speaking to a minister who told me that 11 different people in his congregation have been diagnosed with cancer. If that came to your door, how would you handle it? Jesus talks not just about persecution here, he talks about tribulation, trouble coming into our lives. Has that hard rock of relying on yourself been broken in your life? Are you relying on Jesus for everything now? God's word does no damage. God's word finds no depth. The third type of hearer we meet is in verse 7. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And these are people where the word knows no durability. It's quite a hard word, a long word, but it was just to try and keep the D's going. The word knows no durability. In other words, the word doesn't last. I must confess, I'm a reluctant gardener. When we lived in Dromara some time ago, our back garden was like a wilderness for a while. So we killed off the grass in the back garden in order to start from scratch. But all kinds of weeds and thorns and thistles thought that they would take over. And you can cut the heads off those invaders, and in about a week's time, they're back again. Except when they come back, they bring their whole family with them. Dock leaves, we find, were the worst, because they have thick, strong roots that go down about 18 inches, about 45 centimeters below the surface. You have to dig them out one by one. But here, where Jesus is talking about, this soil hasn't been cleared first. The thorns and the thistles have a head start. And as the rain falls, as the sun shines, they grow faster than the little seeds. And as the little seeds begin to grow, they choke the grain to death. It knows no durability. It doesn't last. It's just the same in the Christian church. Look at verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. People hear the good news about Jesus, and they seem to respond to it. But there's no weeding going on in these people's lives. The thorns and the thistles that are there aren't being pulled up. Such people aren't allowing God's word to root out their sins. And notice it's not Satan giving them a hard time here. It's not the world. It's actually their own hearts. They care about the things of the world too much. They're keen to make a lot of money. They want Jesus, yes, but they have desires for other things even more than they want Jesus. And that might be friends, or sport, or fun, or a career, or your family, or your health. And when whatever it is clashes with what Jesus wants, it's Jesus who loses. As time goes on, you get busier and busier. The ground gets more and more full of thorns. And those thorns and those weeds squeeze out God's word. Until one day, there's no room for Jesus. And it's clear then that you never were a real Christian, although you thought you were. With God's help, you and I need to be pulling out those things from our lives that would compete with Jesus. You know what they are. Jesus summarizes them at the beginning of verse 19. You know what your heart often fixes on. You know how these things can wrap themselves round your heart. You need to let the Word of God dig down deep into your life to uproot those weeds. And you need to be convinced that nothing matters as much as knowing God through Jesus. So we come lastly to the good ground, to the productive plot. And I put there on there just little seedlings beginning to grow, not really the full head growing yet. But that's really what we're looking for in our lives. Not that we're the finished article, but that there is some sign of God's word sprouting in our lives. Verse 8 is how Jesus puts it. Other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he explains that in verse 20. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And that is an amazing yield, because in those days, if a seed produced 10-fold, it was thought to be a good crop. Jesus is saying these produce even more than that. Let me just read some words that put this better than I can. They come from that great preacher, J.C. Ryle. And he says, these are they who really receive Christ's truth into the bottom of their hearts, believe it fully, and obey it thoroughly. In these, the fruits of that truth will be seen, plain and unmistakable results in heart and life. Sin will be truly hated, mourned over, resisted and renounced. Christ will be truly loved, trusted in, followed and obeyed. Holiness will show itself in all their conversation, in humility, spiritual mindedness, patience, meekness, and love. There will be something that can be seen. The true work of the Holy Spirit cannot be hid. So do you hate your sin for what it did to Jesus on the cross? Do you love Jesus that he went all that way for you, and that even now he has your name on his lips? Are you leading a holy life now, a different life, a life of patience, meekness, and love? Maybe you're not what you would like to be. I would imagine none of us actually is. But you know, and other people can see, that by the grace of God burrowing down into your life, you're not what you once were. There are small shoots of growth. If there are, praise him. Give those shoots the best chance by giving yourself to reading and obeying God's word. It's not spectacular. It's not dramatic. but it will produce lasting change. Just like that picture I showed last week, the full harvest, like ears of wheat ripening for harvest. If you're not yet a believer, then see where you fit in this parable. By nature, you're hardened to God's word, full of rock that needs to be broken up, choked by thorns that need to be pulled out, giving time to the world instead of to the one who made the world. Do you remember from last week what I was quoting at the beginning of the service? Jesus is the seed who fell into the ground and died, who was punished in order that through him God might produce a great harvest. Allow God's word, allow Jesus' life and his death to work on you so that he is your king in everything, so that you can bear fruit that lasts. Now, that might not light up the skies or make the newspaper headlines, but that's what the kingdom of God, the only reality in the world, is all about. By faith in Jesus, are you a member of that kingdom? And are you bearing fruit for him? Let's stand as we come to God in prayer. Our Father, this is a very searching passage that we've just been studying. And we know that each believer has work to do. There's rock to be broken up in our lives. There are weeds to be pulled up. If we are really yours, then help us to know that. Help us to see the shoots of real life. But help us also to hate sin, to love Jesus, to know that we are yours, to know that we are forgiven, and to want to be more like Jesus. Help us too to want to sow the seed of your kingdom into other lives as well. Lord, if we're not really yours, then help us to see that as well. Help us not to pretend we're yours when we're not. Help us to be honest with you. Help us to confront our sin, to see that only by turning from that sin, by trusting in the death of Jesus, can our lives be turned into good ground, where your word may grow, where real change may take place. Lord, help us to want that more than anything else. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We close our service by singing part of Psalm 37 together on page 75. We sing from stanza 27, again to the end of the psalm, 27 to 31, to the tune Farningham, number 89. And this is a psalm of joy. There's joy in this psalm, a psalm of trust in God. But it's a realistic psalm as well, because it talks at several points about the wicked. Not everybody is trusting in God. Look at stanza 27. I saw a wicked, ruthless man spread like a lush green tree. Seems as if everything is going well with this person, a person who's not trusting in Jesus. But look at what continues. He passed away, was not. I looked, but found he could not be. That sounds like someone living for himself, possibly the stony ground or the thorny ground, something where the seed grows for a while and then it's gone. But that's not the way we are, those who are trusting in Christ are. Look at stanza 30. But the salvation of the just is from the Lord alone. We can't save ourselves, but God can. God can declare us just through Jesus. And God can be with us through times of trouble and deliver us and rescue us from all that would frighten us, all that we face, because we trust in him through Jesus. So the end of the wicked man is destruction. The end of the just man trusting in Jesus is eternal life. Let's sing these stanzas to God's praise, 27 to the end.
Green tree, he passed away, but not I looked, I thought he could not be. Mark well the blameless watch and see, the man of uprightness, because that surely of this man the latter end is peace. But those who are transgressors will together be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off and made void. But the salvation of the just is from the Lord alone. And when a time of trouble comes, his strength by then is known. The Lord will help and rescue them. He will deliver them from wicked men and will them save, because they trust in him.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.